Is it gone?
No.
Hey, Mayor, we are good.
We're good?
We're good.
Okay. Since nobody can you hear me? I'll put it up like so. All right, I'd like to call this meeting of the White City Council to order for December 4th, 2025 at 999 East Galena Drive. We have a quorum, all board members are present. Paul has joined us via Zoom. Welcome, everyone. All righty, do we have any public comments?
Yes, we do.
All right.
I think great.
She likes a little talk.
I'm hijacking this here meeting.
Love it.
I now make you chair.
Paulina, you've been with White City forever. We can't thank you enough for all your hard work, your knowledge, your expertise that you've brought in guiding this community to have its independence. And so we have organized a little gift for you. And the same for Phil. So we want to extend our gratitude to both of you. Absolutely.
Phil, you got to open it.
This is just a small token of our appreciation. And so we just wanted to thank you on behalf of White City.
I know they came with the gift. I was like, oh.
Can I get in trouble with it?
Yes.
I mean, it's you, so.
As soon as you say it, I'll tell you how you can get in trouble with it. The pen is always mightier than the sword, I would just say.
Those are bags, too.
They are, aren't they?
The last time somebody gave me something this nice is when they were signing the bonds.
There's more to come. Didn't make it in time for the meeting, but there's more to come. I'll get in touch with you and let you know.
Well, this should be very fitting.
This should be for both of you. Phil, I was told this you're quite the artist.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So it's
try that.
Very cool. I think you'll like it, and it's, how do you say it?
It sits in a magnetic field.
Magnetic.
Hovers. It is a pen.
It is a pen.
But it is a very cool pen.
Play with it.
Isn't that cool? It just hovers there. I thought of you guys.
Wow,
that would be great.
This is so cool. I love toys.
Just a small token of our appreciation.
Yes, and there's more to come. Both of you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry if I went over my 3 minutes.
That you forgot to say Phil.
No, I did say Phil.
Well, you said same for Phil, but Phil, you did amazing. We're going to miss you.
We are going to miss both of you.
Yes.
You guys put in so much work and so much heart into this community, and we're sad to see you go. Thank you.
But we know where you live.
But you're not leaving the community, so.
Well, I expect to see both of you at city meetings still.
No. But that ship sailed, and other things are really
on the course. Great.
Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate all the hard work everybody's done over the years. And when 1985 was a big year, I joined PTA because my last little tail end was born. He was 9 years younger than any of my other kids. And I had to start all over and went to PTA, and they sent me to the college in Utah County for training to be a lobbyist to do the legislative training. So that's where I got my knowledge of how to. And then we went further and had to start a community council because development was coming to our community. So that we were on the road of lobbying on Capitol Hills as early as 1985, citizen lobbying. And it's been a great pleasure and a lot of good experience. But we certainly have spread that around to create more little monsters. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Is there any other public comment?
Looks like she passed.
Yay.
You may have to hold that down.
Turns green. There you go. You got it.
You're live.
Thanks. Thanks for giving us a minute to address the mayor and the council. So I've got to come in here in a little bit, so I wanted to do it early on in public comment, along with Chief Morris. But when I started my tenure as chief, you were one of the first people that I talked to, and you have been an amazing advisor and consultant, and someone who has always supported not just me, but our department and your precinct and your police department and law enforcement as a whole. And it's going to be really strange for me to come to work when you're not there anymore.
Oh, I'm around.
And Phil, you've been an exceptional council member, you've been an exceptional board member. Both of you have been on the board, but we have appreciated you more than you know, especially some of the things that you've done recently with your leadership, and it's been outstanding. There's one thing that when I think about both of you that I respect tremendously is you are both fighters. Fighters for the right things and the right people, and you care about your cops, you care about law enforcement, not just in your own city, but everywhere. You care about our firefighters and first responders, and that's that kind of support from our elected officials is more important now than ever, and we don't take that for granted. So we are so grateful to both of you. We love White City, we love both of you, and we'll miss serving with you, but we hope you go and find some peace and enjoy your families and other activities, but we won't forget what you've done for us, and we wanted to present a couple of plaques, but maybe if you want to say something, Chief.
Sure, I'll keep it brief. One thing as I was thinking about driving over here is I've only been here for a year, and you both have taught me so much already, so thank you for that. Thank you for helping me when I didn't know what I was doing. I appreciate that. And in addition, just anybody willing to put as much energy and commitment and time and sacrifice into serving their community, to serving their neighbor, to serving another, is just such a selfless act. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate you.
A ton of fun in getting to go to those meetings, and yeah, only a couple more. Right? Apparently, with the cancellation of today's meeting, only one more meeting, and then hopefully things should be good for a while.
All right, any more public comment? Seeing none, we'll have the discussion on items, the capital projects. Chad is here.
Hey, Chad, yay!
Did everybody decide to wear blue on this side and black on that side?
Oh, that's funny.
Your seat needs to go
there. You go. Yep. Okay. You're good.
All right. Chad Anderson. I'm the city engineer, or active city engineer for White City. We are now coming into the budget season for MSD's fiscal year 27. This process basically starts with us taking in as many public comments or ideas for public for capital projects from the public as we can. Usually we have one person for each community input those projects into a smart sheet. Last year that was Rory. I expect to do that again. I guess that's up to the council. I don't know if that needs to be a motion or how do you want to do that? Like, to have just basically choosing you to be the person who puts those in.
I think we'll go ahead and just move forward with that. Okay. Yeah, we're good. We'll take care of it, Chad.
Yep, perfect.
What's the timeline generally put out?
Okay, so they're basically due January 17th. So that's the cutoff, and after that we'll be going through those, basically vetting them, looking for which ones are, you know, capital projects, which are things that operations can do, and which things are more parks and rec related. We split those out to those three lists and then prioritize them based on, you know, things like safety concerns or, you know, traffic capacity improvements or something like that. From there, we will come back to the council. I think we'll come back in February after prioritizing those. Basically, get input on how those are prioritized, make sure the council is good with how we're presenting those to the MSD board, and then presenting it to the MSD board for their approval. So, just to note that not everything on our list of priorities, they'll be in order of priority, but not everything will be funded. So we got more projects to do than there is money. I guess that's
a good problem,
yeah.
So Chad, we need to prioritize, when we give you the smart sheet, we need to prioritize ourselves. What we want, or do you do that?
It's some of both. It does have a question for priority, so you can provide input on that.
Okay.
We'll take it and, I guess, we'll provide engineering's priority too.
Okay.
You also separate out repairs versus new projects. Capital
yes.
is new projects. Give your top three because you might get your top two.
Gotcha.
Sometimes we're lucky to get five, like we've got this year.
Yeah, really we want input from, across the board, whenever I can get input from the community on things that need to be done, I consider that invaluable. It's things I wouldn't know about otherwise, and if we don't get that input for free, we have to pay for it. So I appreciate the input.
Just real quick, is that something that the council can have a list of current items, be able to add some things?
They'll do that when they're reporting for the budget process.
When you send me the smart sheet, does it include the ones that are already on there, or is it blank?
It doesn't, but I can provide you the ones from
from
last year.
From last year.
And I will say, so even things that don't get funded, we do use these smart sheet inputs for years to come.
Perfect.
So,
if you can send me a list, that'd be great.
We'll come back to that.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. Linda, you also had questions about Sea Lily that I wanted to address here. So
thank you.
There was some mention about the striping has worn off. It's like, yes, we've noticed that also.
Particularly the bike lanes.
Yes. The bike lanes actually are something that we didn't end up paying for. We, the White City, the MSD.
Because they didn't paint them right in the first place.
It wasn't
they didn't
the right color. Yeah.
Paint.
Right.
Yeah. But really, across the board, all of the paint hasn't lasted very long. It's pretty worn out as it is. Anyway, the warranty for that work is... it's still under warranty, so before the end of the warranty, we will have the contractor come out and basically repaint it, which is pretty typical for our projects. It's also acrylic paint, so it doesn't last as long as... moving forward, I think we need to do our capital projects with... it's called epoxy paint. It does last a lot longer. Get what you pay for. It costs a couple of times what acrylic paint costs, but... it lasts much longer. So,
how does the epoxy paint hold up with the salt and snow plows compared to?
Yeah, much better. It's
because we haven't even had that yet. So,
actually, it was painted earlier. Yeah, you're right. It hasn't had a winter season yet.
Yeah,
but it'll. I think when we have the contractor repaint it, it'll still be with the hard paint. But when it wears out again, we'll have.
Being that the warranty has a certain deadline, does it end before spring of next year?
No.
If not, I wouldn't be painting anything with the bad weather coming. That it has to be a nice, dry, sunny day for them to do the good paint. It's a waste because last year was right before snowfall.
Yep. Let me look just a second. I think that warranty started in April of this year, technically. So. It'll be after the winter season, or at least the worst of it.
Mm-hmm.
May 12th of 2026.
So May 10th would be a good time to install the new one.
Yeah, you would do the warranty, like just a walkthrough within a few weeks or a month before the end of the warranty. So, yep. Okay, any questions?
Thank you. Okay, we have discussed future agenda items. Lori, do you want to address them?
Is there anything that the council would like on the agenda? I know that there's one that Councilmember Hewish would like, and that's on my list.
Couldn't hear you.
There's one item that Councilmember Hewish has asked for that will be in January. Is there any other items that anyone would like me to bring back? Anything that's pressing that you'd like to see? Okay.
You have to renegotiate contract.
We will do that.
All righty. At this point, we'll close the workshop meeting and say welcome. We're in the regular business meeting. We do still have a quorum, and like I say, nobody's left the building yet. So. Financial report, Dave Sanderson.
MSD is providing the information up to 10/31, 2025, so it's 4 months into the year. On the first page of general fund, the sales tax is looking pretty strong, being at 346, so 35% of the year, and it has a 2-month lag. So that's really looking strong. All the other numbers on the revenue side are pretty small. Other than the transfer in, that amounts to 50% of the entire actual to date. On the expense side of things, everything is normal. The only thing that's was over budget is the software streaming. It's a small budget, $2,000, and we spent $3,222 so far this year. All the other expenses are in line. On the second page, any questions on the first page? On the second page is your designated fund, which is your net taxes. Those numbers are today is the electric franchise tax leading the way, basically, because of the colder months. It would be getting stronger the colder months that we come into. The other ones are fairly small at this point. On the bottom of that page, got a few typo errors on my typing, not too good, but MSD provided me with your fund balances in any particular funds and use of them. So there's 167,300 that's restricted capital projects. 752,373 is the administrative budget, which normally rolls over to capital projects. And unrestricted can be used for anything. 291, and also the CARES fund can be used for anything. That's new information that they provided this first time. Any questions on the net fund and any of the balances? And the third page is just the beer funds, and the beer funds haven't come in yet. Normally they're in November and December, but we haven't seen them yet. Other than that, 4 months out of the year, out of 12, so not very far. Financially, it gets exciting more or less in the 9th, 10th, 11th rather than the 4th month.
Sure.
Happy to answer any questions or comments on the financial report.
I'd like to say thanks very much, Dave, for taking care of us.
Well, thank you.
I've known
you for a long time, more than a lot of people in this room.
Well, when we were a young community with wide, starry eyes thinking we could buy a water company, that whole process required a CPA. And the underwriter, because we were first, a new entity who had never done this before, we were assigned to Dave. As part of the bond closing, we had to retain Dave to make sure every month. We were on time. He double-checked everything that the water district did, and he trained up our staff He's been amazing, so.
Thank you very much. You've been amazing too, and known you for, since 1996, so that's a long time. Me and Paul, I think Paul.
Yep, Paul too.
Me and Paul's the longest ones. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave, appreciate you.
Okay, Unified Fire Authority report?
Do we need a motion to accept that?
Yes.
Okay, we need a motion to accept Dave's report.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, any opposed, motion carried. All right, Unified Fire Authority?
Hey, good evening, Mayor and Council. Thanks for the time to let me run through our report and update. Chief Aldrich is off on vacation somewhere, so I'm covered for him this evening. Hopefully warm. Yes, for sure. Just first off, just wanted to highlight one of our divisions. So our information outreach, our public information officers. This division spends a lot of time throughout the year. They work year round. They manage some of our school events, neighborhood events, and then all of our community events. So in 2025, that work included 165 community events that they managed and coordinated, and then more than 200 station tours and school visits throughout the year. This team has six people assigned to that division, and it's our public-facing education platform that we use. They push out tons of social media, work with the local media channels to get information out for our organization, the communities, and most recently we've had several media education campaigns come out. One firefighter shown what happens when deep frying a turkey goes wrong. We had a video, social media post they pushed last year of a live Christmas tree when it catches fire in a house and how quick that goes up and the impacts of that. And they've relaunched that this December already and tons of views, so like getting that education out. And I recently learned from them that we have to keep those videos to 6 seconds because that's the attention span we can keep for people. We're going to be talking about this more in our board meeting next week, but part of that division's communications is reducing community risk and working with our community risk reduction team. The value of that is just pushing information to get ahead of some of the problems. So we try to look for trends, we try to look for issues, we try to look for any way we can engage in the community before we have to respond, so a more of a proactive approach. One of the things we're pushing out this month is the 211 website and app. So that's a Utah app and site, and it gives folks a directory to local services. So it can help with holiday meals program, winter clothes drives, crisis counseling, shelter information, and many other things. So oftentimes people call 911 and we don't have all the answers all the time, but that's somewhere where we direct folks. And so if there's people in the community that need some of that stuff, that's a good resource to push them towards. Lastly, just for our December safety message, we run into a lot of structure fires and home fires during the holiday season. 46% of those fires are caused in the U.S. are caused by heating equipment within the home, and oftentimes space heaters. Those fires are often caused by materials too close to that space heater. So whether it's furniture, blankets, clothing, it's just too close, they ignite, and then it spreads to the rest of the structure. So with that, we just want to have a reminder out there, and we'll push this out. I think Ken may have already emailed it over, but we want to get that out so that people are aware of those space heaters and any heating equipment as we get into the colder months here, and stay safe that way. As far as responses for last month, for November, looked like 24 incidents total with 5 fire-related responses and 19 medical responses. And so far through November for 2025, there's been 212 incidents within NY City. That'll take any questions.
Thank you, Chief.
Awesome. Very good report.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
On that, 211 app, can you email to Rory the information so she can get it out? Okay, Unified Police Department, Detective Josh Smith and Chief Adrian Morris.
Do you want another one, Jeff?
She's like, hiring time.
I know, I'm done.
Delegation.
I like it, very good.
I like that.
Especially to Josh.
Come on, just push it once.
Pull it hard, push it, hold it down.
Just hold it.
There you go.
See?
There you go.
It's a clue. It's all clue. Mayor, council, great to be back. Looking over the number of calls reported this month, we're kind of in the high 30s, which we've kind of, that's kind of where we're trending. We've been in the mid 40s throughout the year, came down to the mid 30s, and now we're kind of just staying right in that area. So looking over the numbers, like I said, I kind of sound like a broken record every month, but I like it. It's consistent. White City's consistent. I think we have a good program in place. There was quite a few suspicious activity calls that came in, which is good. That means the community's paying attention. They're calling police instead of just ignoring questionable things, such as, you know, your neighbor might have a car that has an alarm going off, or just lights that are flashing on and off in the driveway. You have anything from suspicious individuals walking down the street, not just walking down the street, but they're checking door handles or they're walking up and down driveways. That's what we want to know about. Like, those usually are people that are casing the neighborhoods looking for trouble or crimes of opportunity. And so we're glad to get those calls, and so it's not a huge burden to us. That's what we like to see, that the community is aware of those and paying attention to the surroundings and letting us know. Just a note, as we move into the holiday season, we do see some increased, because our communities are usually feeling more generous, we see an increase in some of our fraud calls. I'll just go out on a limb and say, if somebody's asking you to pay in form of gift cards or any type of sending something, that it's most likely that should be a red flag to everybody. And please do not give them any money. Nobody, I think, is going to win any of the lotteries in foreign countries, because we can barely win the ones in our own country. So just be aware of those. Please do not become a victim of those crimes, and lose some of your money. And then just as we move into the holiday season, if you're out shopping, just know that if you're leaving stuff in your vehicle and it can be seen, most likely somebody walking by, individuals that are looking, like I said, for those crimes of opportunity, they're gonna take advantage of that and ultimately kind of, and unfortunately, make you a victim and become Grinch and steal all your presents. Are you going to talk about which is events? So just gotta make sure I don't want to steal her thunder. So we have two events coming up this Saturday. So like I said, it's the Middell White City Precinct. We're teaming up with the Rotary Club. We're going to assist with Operation Santa and help with some kids and take them shopping and help them enjoy a nice breakfast. That will be at the Walmart in Middell this Saturday. And then we'll follow it up with, one wasn't enough, so we'll follow it up the weekend after, the 13th. With Unified Police Department's Shop with the Shield, which is another opportunity we'll have to mingle with some children and shop with them, enjoy a good meal, and hopefully brighten their lives up for at least one day and bring them some joy. And I think we get as much joy out of it as they do. So, but that's just something that's, we're going to be participating in it, and we look forward to it every year. So,
awesome.
Question: how much has the growing of beards money brought in this year for the Chocolate Shield?
I don't have the exact amount.
I don't think a lot of people
this
know
year.
About that. Do you?
It usually brings in several thousand dollars around the area of like 10 grand from people. Okay. For those that don't know, our officers are allowed to make a donation in the amount of $100, and that allows them the opportunity to wear a beard for the year. So if they don't make that donation, then our policy does not allow facial hair of that kind. So that's how we fund that program. I'll find out that dollar amount, but it's always enough to support about 18 families that we shop for. I think that's how many we're shopping for this year.
I have one more thing on the crimes. People who have landlines, if you still have one, the calls that are coming in right now is, we're ready to finalize your loan.
Okay.
They are in like crazy all day long. Same with the Medicare people, all day long.
And it's not just the landline, I get them.
Yeah, I don't get them on
myself. Oh, absolutely. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how many times we've heard that Chief Mazarin is contacting people through text messaging asking for payment being made with gift cards.
The big one is banks calling to say they're finalizing your loan.
Yeah.
They want everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
don't give them any info over.
Nope.
Yeah, I just got one today saying that I was overdue on a Utah toll road and they were asking my license.
Yeah,
so that one too. They're very creative, and nobody will collect money that way. And if you have a question, if you're dubious about what this is, feel free to call us and we'll try to evaluate and maybe make some phone calls and try to get an answer for you. So if you're not sure, you can call us and we'll try to help evaluate that.
Another good practice, since I'm in IT, is to simply just say, okay, what's the case number? Hang up, call your bank, call your whoever they claim to be directly. Do not give them anything. Ask them for a case number. If they're legit, you can call your bank, use that case number, and then move forward with that. And most of the time, your bank or whoever is going to say, yeah, no, that's not a real case number, or that's not even the format we use, or and you'll know right away, oh, dodge the bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call their numbers.
No. Don't call the number they give you.
Yeah, don't do that.
Go to the corporate website, get it directly.
Yeah. The only other thing I would add, a couple things. Myself and the UPD Crossing Guard Coordinator met with Canyon School District this week to discuss safe routes, the children's route walking to the different schools in the area. It also led to a broader discussion about just traffic safety and identifying some of the areas that we have concerns. One of our biggest complaints is traffic problems within White City. So we're trying to strategize and get the resources out as we can to address those issues. So that has been a big discussion. And last but not least, Midville Precinct, which White City is a very important part of, we engaged in a competition with Mill Creek Precinct and Holiday Precinct to try and collect as much goods and resources for our Connie Crosby Family Center. It kind of took a life of its own when the mayors got involved, and so they have a friendly wager on whichever precinct wins, the other cities are going to come buy them lunch. So far, just our precinct alone has collected over 4,000 items to be delivered to our Connie Crosby Family Shelter. About a third of them are brand new items. So hygiene kits, clothes, bed sheets, towels, you name it, everybody's getting it. And it's been very exciting to see. And that's only made possible by the generosity of our community. We've had a lot of folks from White City actually contribute to that. Just a little plug, we're accepting those until next week. So the bigger we can smash the other precincts, we're all about that. So, but yeah, it's been very successful, and thank you very much. And
where do you see those items needed to go that we wanted to donate for that?
They can go to Midvale City Hall, or they can come to the precinct.
Okay.
And we'd love folks to come to the precinct. I'd love to show them around. So it's your police department. We'd like to share that. And the last thing is, this is the last meeting for the month of December. So I just want to wish you, everybody here in our community, a very happy holiday. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay. Action items. Approve of the minutes, 5.1. Minutes for November 13th and November 18th. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of November 13th and November 18th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Discussion and consideration of ordinances. Ordinance 2025.
Yes, and Mayor, this is going to be Brian Tucker, bless his heart. He offered to take this on for me because this is the WUI code. So Brian's the expert here.
Thank you, Rory, Mayor and Council. So in the last legislative session, the legislature passed House Bill 48, which required every city to adopt the WUI code, which is the Wildland Urban Interface Code. The state has adopted the 2006 version of that, nothing since then, and so we're required to adopt the 2006 version as well. In January, and it'll probably reach you in February, we will probably be looking to adopt a map as to where this code applies. We have some mapping that has come from the state, Fire, Forestry, and State Lands. They've created a map which is based on the fire risks, and they have suggested that the cities, starting at the level 5 fire risk, adopt a map that shows, you know, anything above 5. We've got hold of that map, and our GIS team has determined that nothing in White City is in that 5 or higher range. So we'll end up probably adopting just a blank map, but we'll take care of that early in the next year. So right now we're adopting by reference the 2006 Wildland Urban Interface Code.
Yes. I'm glad you came.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Any questions? Sorry. I was ready to make a motion, but I didn't want to jump the gun.
Yes, you can be. Never mind. On this motion for this, is there anything else we need to know?
I don't think that there is. We're just adopting the Wildland Urban Interface Code. The state has already adopted it. Currently, it's not being enforced in your community. And when we adopt the map, assuming that we adopt the map that I'm anticipating, the blank map, it won't be enforced within your community as a practical matter. But we, for whatever reason, we have to adopt it.
But you'll put the designations of the zones we have. Like the level of, like we're 1, 2, or 3, you'll put that on the map?
We have anticipated not doing a map. The fire, forestry, and state lands has recommended that we adopt a map that has any of the fire risk categories of 5 and up. White City doesn't have any.
Yeah, but it'll be on the global county map.
It will, but each community has to adopt their map.
Yeah, additionally, we were also concerned about Dimple Dell, since it borders on both of them,
yeah.
You know, splitting us, and we were concerned about the county and how that was getting handled, or I guess county and Sandy together, but we're concerned how that was gonna play out.
So even with Dimple Dell, strangely enough, nothing came in at more than 4.
Wow.
That's great.
That's higher further east, but yeah. Not in this.
But not in
the.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I had heard a rumor that the feds were in here in relation to that also. What involvement do the feds have? They met with people at the state level.
I don't know the answer to that. And I think that there will be. The word on the street, and I'm, you know, maybe some of the fire folks here know better than I, but the word on the street is there may be some fees involved with, you know, being in certain risk categories, but I don't think there'll be anything less than 5, and maybe not even less than 7. It's for those properties that are truly at risk, which I don't believe White City, based on the mapping, has any.
Yeah, what I was hearing, that feds are going to redefine the canyons in this process.
I'm not aware of that.
I appreciate you all your hard work and making it clear, because previously for months they kept saying we're going to charge a fee along White City's boundaries with Dimbledale. I couldn't see how that was possible, because fees are assigned and assessed to jurisdictions. So, okay.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion on this resolution? Read the short title.
I'd like to make the motion to adopt ordinance number 2025-0-06, an ordinance of the White City Council enacting section 15.08.011 of the White City Municipal Code to adopt the 2006 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. The next item is another resolution.
Yes, Mayor, this is on the Government Data Privacy Act, which is, the Privacy Act has been out for some time. However, the legislature adopted more enhanced regulations on it this last year. So it does require that each city adopt a privacy policy plus prepare a policy report, or a privacy report, excuse me. Since we don't have the services here in White City, the MSD has adopted the privacy policy. So we are adopting their policy, because that's where all of the White City information is collected, is through the MSD. So instead of us having our very own, we're adopting the MSD, because that is where it's handled, since we do not have any employees. So this is what the resolution is doing, is it's adopting the MSD privacy policy. They also have a privacy report that is due by the end of the month that Meredith sent to me today. I need to make a couple of changes on it, and then I'll send it out to everybody. It does not need to be submitted anywhere. We just have to have it. So that is something that we will just have. We do every year. We'll be doing the same thing every year.
Okay. Any questions? No. Seeing none, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution number 2025-12-01, adopting the MSD's privacy policy.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, discussion items. MSD payroll schedule. Daniel Hoffman.
So I've printed these out. I don't know if you guys already have these in your packet.
Yeah, so push the button down so you can hold it close. There you go.
So does everybody have a copy of all of these?
I don't think so.
It's not in the packet.
It was in the last update. It was like the second update.
Okay. I printed off.
That's the one I opened. I'll take a look at this.
Okay, take a look. Yeah.
Does anyone else need one of
Mayor,
these?
Mayor, do you
need one? Okay. So I'm here for two reasons. Both are related to payroll. First, you'll find in your packet there's a city council pay schedule. So I printed it off, brought to show you guys. This is just kind of we want to be more transparent in how things are doing, how we're doing payroll.
I don't think that's in our.
It came out on the email.
This pay schedule, right now, everyone's being paid monthly. This pay schedule, so there's 12 pay periods. Right now, the proposed pay schedule is to be paid at the end of each month. The pay date will be the first day of the following month. The reason for that is most payroll softwares
there's like the pay schedule, the pay period to be done, and the pay period to be right after that. When I run payroll, in order for me to do payroll in a timely manner, I usually run payroll on the 24th or 25th of each month to make sure it hits by the 1st. Now, everybody uses a different bank, and so some people will get their pay early. Some banks are really, really fast at processing these kinds of transactions. So I've actually run payroll on the 25th and had people be like, yeah, I got paid on the 26th. Mm-hmm. But just because of how things work, I'm required to give 4 to 5 business days to make sure that payroll has adequate time to pay these accounts. Okay. So the pay date is listed as a 1st, but you may and you probably will get it a few days before that. But the rule is it needs to be no later than that date. So that's the proposed pay schedule. And the reason I am proposing this pay schedule is because there has been some confusion in the past about how our pay schedules are working. And so that's kind of the other item. I've been talking with Mayor Flint. She asked me to kind of look into our records, see what's been going on, see what's happening. And that's why I prepared this other schedule you see here. It just shows a long list. I pulled every pay that the MSD has done that I have records to, going all the way back to 2019. We didn't want to share personal payroll data. It is available on transparency.org if people want to go look at payroll data on there, but it isn't pertinent to kind of our meeting tonight. So I just wrote paid in every box when someone did receive the paycheck. There's a couple instances where you might see where it says like paid 2 or paid 3, and that's where someone started as a council member. It took a couple months to get them set up, and that they were caught up in terms of payroll. So going through this, kind of a concern has been, are we getting paid at the beginning of the month, or are we getting paid at the end of the month? When we run payroll only once a month, it can get a little confusing. Is this pre-payroll? Because everything's like right there on the line of each month. And so I've gone back through the data to look and just see what's going on. And that's why I'm here to present to you, just what I've found. I talked to Brian Hartzell today, and he said the best he can remember the very first payroll that the MSD ran was that October of 2019.
Yes, and we had a county.
Before that, I think it was the county.
No, even we had another lady that was doing accounting.
Okay.
Before Marla. There was a guy who was doing it who worked for the county. And during those years, in 2000, when they first started doing the stipend, was the beginning of 18, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. But what happened in 18 is the company we had to report it was Greg Schultz's documents from way back when. He was our first admin person. They would have to, and Paul, they'd have to submit their invoices by the end of the month. And then the 10th date from that you have on your document was by that date they had to pay.
Yep.
So we were getting paid for services rendered. We weren't getting paid at the beginning of the month for no services rendered. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in that, which you don't have the records to, is where all this miscommunication is. That's why I'm one of two people that's left on the MSD that are originals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was never paid in advance. So I was shocked when I heard people were getting paid at the beginning of a month for that month. Mm-hmm. It was like unbelievable that we shifted to that. We don't know where in transition between all the different financial people that slipped.
Yeah.
So I have all of Greg Schultz's records also.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I'll send
you can share those with me if you like. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the earliest record I have is this invoice here, the National Payroll. Yeah. This is the one that's signed. And this one shows pay period October 1st, October 31st, and the payday being the 10th of October. And so, that's when we were doing national payroll.
I never looked at that whenever we were signing that. We assumed that the program was going on, but look how many financial people we've had and how many payroll people we've had. There's been a lot of confusion, and now that the MSD is finally set with people that know what they're doing, we were all winging it in the beginning, so.
Yeah.
You remember, we were all
scared
to death.
Yes, I do.
Paid our attorney $1 to represent us.
So, yeah, but I went ahead and made the schedule. It does show that. Pay was done 10th of each month. Occasionally, we'll see that it was done on the 8th or the 9th. That's when a payday lands on a weekend. They move it one or two days earlier to the Friday because...
That's what all government agencies
do. That's what all government, that's basically what every company does.
I am so glad to see that you've rectified that to make that more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Also show I put a column called count to just so you can count how many payrolls we've done each year. I found that we have done 12 payrolls each year for the last 6 years, which is what I have records for. A lot of the confusion came right at the beginning of 2023. That's when we changed from using National Payroll Service to using ExecuPay and GoCo as our payroll providers. Right there in that period, it was changed from being on the 10th to the 1st. I don't show any missing payroll. I don't show that we skipped a month or anything. But yeah, it does show that the date was moved forward. And that's what brings us to today. Right now as we stand, I've run 12 payrolls this year so far. And so on the W-2s for every employee, it will show 12 payments. So that's what I'm showing. That's the only information I found. The only thing that I found that was missing is I do have a month that was missed for Tyler. And I think we already discussed and talked about that. Looks like that was, you chose to either donate or...
Yeah, I wasn't worried about it.
You weren't worried about it. Yeah. Okay. So... That's the only thing I found that could possibly be interesting. But yeah, going forward, we do want to make sure we're on a paid at the end of a pay period schedule so that there isn't confusion, so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, because the MSD has also passed a resolution that if you miss a meeting, you owe back money.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I think that's for the weekly meetings, we only now have one.
Right.
But we have a second in case they need it. But if they've...
I know that they do want representation at every meeting. I haven't heard that myself.
Yeah, that was about 4 months ago, something like that. Look at the resolutions that have been passed.
So if you aren't there, but Greg is there, then it's still covered.
The system pays you after. A week and a day after your meeting.
Okay. So
that's
if you're not
the
there.
Come in for the.
So if you don't go to the one meeting, then they don't pay you
the
for
stipend.
That.
The stipend. They get $100 less taxes for each meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
I've never been instructed to not pay someone.
I never heard that.
So that was a new resolution. If people aren't there.
Is that an unexcused absence or just a...
No, I just don't get paid.
We're not calling back anything. Like, it's just you don't get paid.
That means you have to have... See, we've been having trouble all these years. There were never deputy mayors. Then we went through that period that changed the law to become a city, and they did away with the language for deputy mayors. This year they reinstated that and gave us that authority. So there's been this back and forth because of the legislature and the MSD, so we're kind of like, okay, today we will do it this way. So anyway, appreciate all the continuity that you've brought to the...
And if you have more information,
I'll send you the early stuff.
Dan, for clarification then,
yes,
for those receiving a stipend in January of 2026, no one should be expecting a paycheck in January. that will be coming.
It will be right at the pay date, February 1st, but it'll be basically the last few days of January.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Do you have any questions?
No, I just needed everybody to know because it was very confusing.
I don't want anything to be confusing.
It's we were all winging it in the early days. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is we have a couple of people here. Our long-range planner has not been to our meeting. I'd like to, at this point, give him an opportunity to come forward and address us and introduce yourself. He's another Daniel.
Yes, I was told all the Daniels are here tonight, so
yes.
That's great.
Vinetti, right?
Hold it down.
On the bottom button.
This way?
Yeah. Perfect.
Check.
You have to pull it up close to you because it doesn't pick up.
Okay.
Very nice.
Thank you for this opportunity. So my name is Daniele Benigni. I'm the new long-range planner with the MSD. This is my first meeting. I think my first meeting at YCD. And I'm very excited to help YCD with anything that they need. I know Morgan Julian was working with you. She was a fabulous long-range planner, so I hope I can be as good as her. And
I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've had a planner restart meeting, so appreciate you.
Yeah.
I'll very nice.
Try to my best to come here. Sometimes it's hard because I live all the way in Payson and I have a young son, but I will do what I can.
Thank you much.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Hey, council reports. At this point, I have no MSD because I gave that report at our last meeting because of the way the meetings have fallen, and I haven't had another meeting. So, Unified Fire.
All right, thank you. Two things of note. One, actually, after our meeting, nothing within UFA's meeting itself that wasn't already covered tonight, but I did meet with CFO Tony Hill just to better understand the Sandy contract, which covers White City, how the dollar amounts determine the impact with the required annexation of pockets within Sandy and other surrounding cities, and what does that mean to the Sandy contract. So it was really good to talk with him and understand. So from my understanding, as Sandy's forced to annex all these areas, the Sandy contract becomes smaller. And so the cost that comes in this area will continue to shrink until at some point the only piece of the Sandy contract will essentially be White City itself. And so that was really helpful to better have understanding and clarification on what all areas are part of the UFSA and how that money's calculated and goes to Sandy to help provide those fire services to us. So that was really helpful. The second piece, it was part of the UFSA meeting. I think it was the first one that lasted more than 20 to 30 minutes. Eagle Mountain came to UFSA asking for an interlocal agreement as a pass-through for tax dollars. It came suddenly, I would say personally, had no idea this was coming, but essentially what was happening is Meta, Facebook, Instagram company, they are wanting to build another data center in Eagle Mountain over hundreds of acres of property. and they would like the majority of all the sales tax or property tax revenue given back to them as part of this development. So I share this and hope it's okay as a city.
So is that an RDA? Yeah. It's not giving back, it's not paying.
It's a pass through.
So they're shopping for dollars?
Yes.
The answer is no.
Well, that was mine. So let me, but unfortunately that wasn't what passed.
I should travel on my own property taxes.
So there's a lot of discussion back and forth with this. Some of us on the board thought that a company that makes billions of dollars in profit a year did not need tax revenue to help fund their projects. But the voice that won out was an odd one, that the property is currently generating $24 in property taxes. And when all of this is done, it will be generating millions of dollars in property taxes. So how does it hurt to give some of that back? And unfortunately, in my opinion, it passed 5-3. I was one of the three. And I just don't think that the board had the time necessary to understand the implications, but we're now in a 40-year interlocal agreement.
Oh,
whoa.
That will essentially give up to 85% of UFSA's share of property taxes on that, or up to $144 million, whichever is the lesser. So I just wanted to share that. Unfortunately, it didn't go very well, and we felt very rushed. And so UFSA will be out that opportunity to use those funds elsewhere.
Is
over
there
40
no
years.
Way to retract that decision?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because what we're talking is two different things. Have they declared that area a redevelopment area?
Yeah, this all came from Eagle Mountains redevelopment.
Okay. Right there we have a problem. Yes, they can ask for taxes from other governmental agencies, but the law was changed somewhere in mid to late 90s that those agencies aren't mandated to give up that money. They have a right to say no. We did that because school districts were expected to give up money. The Sandy Mall, the Auto Mall, every bit of that was an RDA. Every bit of it. They condemned farmland to give that RDA. So I don't think maybe our district boards understand they have a right to say no, because those are taxes that are collected. It's different of saying you don't have to pay taxes to them than saying a pass-through of our tax dollars going to them. I'd like for maybe you have a conversation with Paul, because I don't think that they can really do that.
I'm happy to go back, especially talk with UFSA's counsel, who's actually helped there and presented
this. Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel, yeah. So I'm happy to go back and ask additional questions. And I don't still fully understand it, but I have it all here. Happy to leave it or send a copy to go through. But my understanding of passing that interlocal agreement was that the UFSA board approved to pass those tax dollars back through to the redevelopment agency.
Yes. We this community fought off a lot of that stuff and went to the legislature. I am so sad because it compromises other districts by allowing this to happen in one district. Yeah. It's the camel's nose under the tent, as Paul likes to say all the time.
Yeah.
I think you guys need to really have some serious conversations, and maybe, because I don't know how you can give tax dollars, pass them through.
So you can
say you don't have to pay me taxes. In fact, that gives
I'll read through it again and see if that's the case. and understand, and I can talk with Rachel. But he said we're missing out on, over the next 40 years, $144 million in tax revenue. The last thing to note, we even looked at change. Mayor Gettle was looking to see to call on a, I don't remember what it's called, but a percentage vote, the weighted vote.
The weighted vote.
And I told him, if you do that, my vote counts less, so be careful. But we looked, and for Eagle Mountain has such a majority vote on a weighted vote with UFSA, we were afraid it was probably going to pass anyways by just Eagle Mountain's own vote on the board. The last thing of note, I don't think this is the case, but four of the five who voted in favor will not be on the board next year. And I think even with that, it may have been, I really don't care.
There is this unique portion of Utah code. No commission is bound by previous commission's decisions. Keep that in your back pocket.
I'll consider that and I'll talk with.
Tyler, do you recall who the third vote was? Does it sound like a good
It was
talent?
Mayor Gettle, myself, and I think it was from one of the canyons. I don't remember.
I was just curious. That's right. Thank you.
Somebody can file a stay on that agreement. So just got to have somebody out there with the juice to do it.
I'll make note and see what I can do.
You may need to fight like I do. Can you get us a copy of that agreement? Can you email us a copy of it, whoever has it? UFA folks. Since that was on the agenda and approved, it's public record. So if you could send it to us, we can see what we can do. Okay, is that everything, Tom?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
All right, mosquito abatement.
Okay, I have nothing for mosquitoes because I reported on that at our meeting on the 13th. Animal control, just a couple of things. We always like to bring this to everybody's attention at the first of the year that just, you know, if people talk to you and that, just keep in mind that January is a good time to remember vaccinate your animals. Make sure the microchip is up to date and has correct information on it. And then also make sure your pet is licensed according to the state law. At our meeting, just a couple of things. We're working with the sheriff's office and the county jail to relaunch the participation in the SHED program. And what that is, it works with prisoners to offer services that assist the shelter and enriches the prisoners. The prisoners enjoy this. It's a good option for them to get some education, and it's also has led, and part of the purpose is for them to perhaps get work after they are released. So it's a win-win for everyone. The other thing we discussed is we have two bills that we're working with the legislature, or we're having presented in the 2026 legislature. First one is to get the animal control officers to be listed as first responders, because if there's a disaster, a lot of pets get neglected. Horses, if there's a wildfire, you know, that needs to be taken care of. The other one that we're working on is getting the courts to rule more quickly on the disposition of animals that are caught up in some of this litigation. We've had cases where an animal has been held for over 3 years in the county facility waiting for a judge to rule on something. So they're trying to get it so that it's adjudicated at the first presentation. And here again, that's just a bill we're presenting at the legislature. And that's all.
That's super sad to think that,
yeah,
you know,
Somebody's pet.
Animal could just be...
For 3 years.
Gosh. That's
crazy.
Just a quick question for you regarding animal control. Do they have horse trailers in those types of situations?
I don't think we actually have horse trailers, but I think they have agreements with, like I know Rogers. South Jordan has some, so I think they have agreements with municipalities or entities that may have them so that they can avail themselves if that were to be the case.
I know there are rentals, but yeah, it's one of those things where you see the police trying to corral a horse on a highway or something, and it's like,
right,
they don't have the equipment to deal with that.
Yeah.
But, interesting. Thank you.
Yep.
Next item is Unified Police Department.
Okay, Unified meetings, super quick. Might have been the 30-minute meeting, so we had to wait for 30 minutes for the time-specific start of 10 o'clock for the Slavisa meeting. And that was an interesting meeting, just a lot of heated discussion and kind of trying to figure out what the board thought the best solution was. And I think we've gone with the right option, but just kind of leaning towards, a payment of $3.1 million opposed to requests that were higher at 4.4, 4.1, and then even as low as 3.65. But after hearing compelling arguments and the data that we'd seen, it just made more sense to go with the other option that cost less but could still get the job done. So we put that forth as the tentative budget, and there was a meeting that was going to be scheduled today to look deeper into that. But based on the other council members, and I think also at the sheriff's request, there was no reason for that meeting. So on the 18th, there will be a meeting at Mill Creek at their city offices that will probably be an interesting meeting because, both sides will probably want to make sure they're supporting their side. But that's when we'll adopt the actual budget for next year.
That's the public hearing.
Yeah, that's the public hearing. That's going to be the 18th at Mill Creek, the city offices, at 10 a.m. If anybody can attend, that'd be great to go ahead and support.
Budgets at 10 a.m.
What's that?
Can't adopt budgets at 10 a.m. Then that would be at 9.
Has to be at 6. After 6.
That's state law.
That's interesting because that's not what we have noted on their,
I know,
their agenda right now.
People are just not paying attention. Anything dealing with money adoption
has to be that after 6.
Has to be.
That's what it was last year, too.
6. Well, I don't want to hear that. Then that's not legal.
Nope.
So, remind them.
Okay.
I can't ever have a public hearing before 6 o'clock. All right. Wasatch Front Waste.
All right. So, we actually had our budget hearing, and it was at 6 o'clock. Happy to report. So, we followed the law on that one. It was actually a really long meeting for how little was actually on our agenda, but we had some topics revolving around the fees and what we're doing. There's no fee increase this year, and there's no plan to do a fee increase, I think, even next year, but we're looking to try to schedule a regular, smaller one so that we don't have the same issue that we ran into where we waited 6 years or whatever it was before then having a larger fee that we had to adopt in an emergency kind of situation. But we are looking to start to reclaim some of our operating expenses. One of those is fees on transactions. Right now we take in payments like 6 or 8 different ways, and some of those have a 3.5% fee that we pay, and some of them are much smaller for processing that through the bank and different things. So we're looking at assessing, I believe it was up to 3% fee on some of those to try to steer people to paying the more affordable ways. But if you want to still pay with a credit card, for example, fine. The convenience fee, you're going to pay the 3%, something to that effect. That won't go into effect until later, but we approved a potential for that as part of the budget as we get back some of the quotes for the new billing process that they're trying to work through. But basically, everything was cost-saving measures, everything we could do to try to just keep costs low, additional conversations about scrap, moving some of the trailer rental program that's not being utilized into scrap,
so that, you know, we can at least have some more trailers. There is opportunity for cities to utilize the trailers if we want to do a cleanup day like other cities are doing, where maybe at Big Bear Park in the parking lot, Woodford would come down and basically just haul trucks in and out of there all day long as needed and fill up dumpsters in the park.
That would be fun. Yeah.
So but that would be something that the city could pay for to utilize the employees and resources that we currently have and help pay for some of that stuff that's just sitting. So help keep our costs down. So outside of that, we had a new board member join us from West Jordan. They likely will just do a boundary adjustment. But I also teased them that, well, you can always boundary adjust into the into our boundaries for the district rather than leave the district. They can have a little city join.
Yes,
so I'm rooting for us, trying to help us grow where we can, but gives us a little bit more buying power and better economies of scale. So, but that was the gist of it.
Okay. City administrator report.
I don't have anything tonight, Mayor. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Famous motion to adjourn.
I think that should make that one.
Yeah,
I think
so. That we adjourn.
Does he have a name?
Yes, he has one. I'll sign it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Paul.
What was West Jordan?
West Jordan had a portion of annex unincorporated.